Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Giants lose to the Bucks last night, 30-10. The offense is awful. Joe Judge goes off on his offensive coordinator last night without naming Jason Garrett, but basically saying there are too many good players on this team to be this bad offensively, and they were bad that bad offensively last night. It's just another impossible game to watch as this team just continues to, as we say, underachieve, and Joe Judge thinks they're underachieving as well, but maybe they're just not that good.
So just think about this for a second. So you have your left tackle as a first-round draft choice, top 10. Quarterback's top 10. Running back's top 10. You have a wide receiver that's top 20. You have a tight end that's top 20. You have, I'm trying to think, you have free agents along that offensive line that you spent money for.
You got a running back that was touched by the hand of God.
Right. You also have a wide receiver, Kenny Golladay, that you spent a lot of money to bring here this year. Sterling Shepard was a first-round draft choice. So if you're sitting in the GM seat and mm-hmm. you have your scouts around you and everything else, you're like, why the hell aren't our first-round draft picks acting and playing like first-round draft picks? And then the next discussion that the owner has with the general managers, are the coaches getting out of the players what they should be getting out of the players because we thought so highly of these guys to draft these guys this high?
Yep.
Or we brought these guys in as free agents and we spent a lot of money on them. Or we traded for them like Leonard Williams, or we brought in Bradbury and we bring in, you know, Jackson. So, I mean, like, you have all these different, like, components on your team that you've either spent money on or spent big draft capital on. And you, what you have here is a 3-7 team and a listless team, a lifeless team, an unemotional team. And you know what? I've been in locker rooms on teams that look like this. And I know if I were a player and I were listening to me talk saying, what the hell is he talking about? I said, well, I know. I understand. But I'm just telling you right now, this is how we on the outside of that locker room, on the outside of that organization, look at this crap. And you're saying to yourself, okay, either the guy that's picking the players is picking the wrong players, or the guys coaching the players aren't getting enough out of those players who are these high draft picks and want these big contracts.
Well, I think the biggest problem of the building the team, like I actually think that the Kenny Golladay signing, even though he hasn't been healthy, was a good signing. I've seen a lot from him in his days with the Lions, and I know he'd been hurt there as well, but I like that signing. I like the pick of Kadarius Toney, and to me, he's shown some talent. Where the problems are the Saquon pick, the Daniel Jones pick, and what we were promised from Dave Gettleman, that the Hog Mollies were going to come in and he was going to draft those guys and he was going to build this offensive line, and he has failed at that as well.
You can't say that he hasn't tried.
But he's failed at it. I never said he didn't try.
I'm just saying some people don't even try.
He's failed at that, and he's failed at building a pass rush as well. Those are two things that are highly important in the game, up front, in the trenches, whatever cliche you want to use, and Dave Gettleman has tried and failed at building the offensive and defensive lines.
Okay, well, I know what's the most important position in the league is quarterback. That's where it all starts and ends. Mm-hmm. He either makes people better around him, or he creates problems for the coaching staff and the people around him. And last night was one of the second part of that, where he did not play well. And he missed open guys, and he was misreading the defense. And, yeah, he was under some pressure. Every quarterback is. I mean, you watched the Minnesota-Green Bay game start mm-hmm. to finish this past Sunday.
Yeah.
Did you see the play that Aaron Rodgers made when Everson Griffin was coming off at the end of the defensive line to his left, okay, to his backside.
Yep.
And he's back there in a shotgun, and he sees that Everson Griffin is coming at him unblocked. He just kind of like dipped his shoulder ever so slightly, and Everson Griffin stopped ever so slightly. Just a hesitation, just a little bit of a hesitation. And then he stood back up, and he threw the ball in the face of Everson Griffin coming at him.
Yep.
Right into the hands of Davante Adams.
Yeah, on a line.
You know, that is a quarterback that is got stones.
Well,
that's a quarterback that stands in there and plays the position the way it's supposed to be played, because not every blocking plan or situation that you have set up is going to be perfect.
And I know he's not. Daniel Jones is not going to be Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's not going to be Tom
Brady.
But
I'm just pointing to you. I'm telling you, when you are a top 10 draft pick, I'm sorry.
You need to be those guys.
That guy. Yeah. Or you're not.
And he is not. And this, to me, I don't know if they're going to bring him back next year. I wouldn't. I've seen enough. Three years is enough.
You remember the one of the most important passes that Eli Manning ever made? And it wasn't the catch, the remarkable catch by David Tyree. It was the throw that he made in the second Super Bowl
to Manningham,
down the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, you can say whatever you want about Eli's career, whatever. But in the biggest moments, he made the biggest throws. And that's really what it comes down to. And he did it for, you know, those two playoff runs. And, you know, we haven't seen any of that from Daniel Jones at all. And maybe he is a clone of Eli, the flatliner that Eli was, the flatliner that maybe Daniel Jones is. Because there's nothing. I mean, it was glassy-eyed last night. It was bad. And it makes the coordinator look bad. It makes the team look bad. And then when you... On the other side, you get no pass rush whatsoever, and you put your defensive backs out on an island. I don't care. Maybe Deion Sanders, maybe Rod Woodson, you know, maybe Richard Sherman in his
Darrell
heyday.
Darrell Revis in his prime.
Yeah, maybe those guys in their prime could stand with a Mike Evans on the goal line. But not when the quarterback's back there and there's nobody around them.
Yeah, one-on-one, posted up,
so
no
you're
shot.
Right. They really have failed finding a pass rusher. Team that had Michael Strahan and Lawrence Taylor, for God's sake. O.C. Umenyora.
Sure.
Right? You know, all these.
Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck, Jason Pierre-Paul. They have always had pass rushers. They have none, what to speak of. There's no pressure up the middle. And Bill Parcells is right. If you want to get to Tom Brady, you don't have to worry about him running right and running left like you're playing Jalen Hurts. You know, Jalen Hurts this week is going to be running all over the place.
Yep.
It's going to be a completely different type of situation than playing against Tom Brady last night. Tom Brady is not a statue, but he's standing. You know where he's going to be. You know the 5-yard square he's going to be standing in. And you know he's going to get rid of the ball. You might as well just come up the middle as fast as you can and try to hit him with somebody.
I mean, I think the Bucs lost, was it Marpet? They lost him in the middle of the game last night, who's a guard who you need to beat. So
was one of their better players.
Right. So then exactly. So that was another reason why the Giants should have gotten some more pressure up the middle.
They never pressed up the middle at all. And, you know, and Leonard Williams could look at all the tape he wants. He just kept getting blocked and blocked and blocked and blocked and blocked and staying on blocks, as opposed to Ndamukong Suh shedding the blocks.
So you're right, though, man. I tell you. You know how John Mara is. You know how this Giants organization is. When you've got Bill Parcells on national TV telling you what you need to do and you're not doing it, I mean, that just makes the current team look pathetic.
No, he didn't do what Rex Ryan did to Rob Saleh.
No.
But just the fact that he was on that last night talking about what he would have done, that's enough to be pushing enough buttons over there.
Oh, he wasn't disrespectful at all,
Parcells. Respectful.
Yeah.
He was respectful. I'm not saying he was. I mean, Rex Ryan just went all in and just, sure, you know, blowtorched the entire place over there.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells didn't do that last night, but let's face it, he's the godfather in the NFL.
Yeah.
And when the godfather's talking, and he's sitting in that, I don't know,
that ridiculous chair.
What chair was he sitting in?
That's a retirement chair right there.
Is he at a retirement home? Where is he?
I don't know. He's got to be in some warm weather location.
He's got to either be in Jupiter, Florida, right?
Yeah. He's not up in Saratoga.
No, he's not in Saratoga.
It's too cold.
But man, he's sitting in that crazy chair.
Yeah. And then Condoleezza Rice, one of the former candidates for Brown's head coaching position, was on last night as well. She wants to be the commissioner, huh?
Wouldn't you? Making 40 bills a year.
I mean, I'd like to make $40 million a year, but I don't know. There's a lot of...
Nobody's going to question her.
A lot of nonsense that goes on.
Yeah, but she can handle it. She's
Secretary
of State.
No, it's a much bigger job.
Woman's brilliant. She made her president.
I know. She had a Browns helmet behind her. She's a big Browns fan, that Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
We'll never forget. Let's go to Ian in Manalapan. What's going on, Ian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
I'm good. Well, happy holiday season to you and your family. Safe and well. My question to you guys is with Daniel Jones, when his first year with Pat Shurmur, I'm not saying Pat Shurmur is a Hall of Fame coach.
Shurmur.
But he played
Shurmur.
Pat Shurmur. Shurmur.
Shurmur is the senator. Shurmur is the coach.
Shurmur, thank you. Thank you. I saw progression, and you saw spots of memories very well. And like Joe Judge's press conference said about teaching, I don't see him teaching Daniel Jones. It's like he's not being taught. He's out there for the first time. What do you guys think? Is it just coaching, or is he just a dud? Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I think that it's more, I don't want to say a dud. He's just not going to be your guy that gets you over the hump. The New York Giants are one of those teams that are built on championship seasons. They are a team that has multiple Lombardis. That's the standard for them. Daniel Jones is not going to bring them back there.
Yeah, I can only go by personal experience. I know when I was confident on the field, and I know what that felt like. I know what it felt like to know that we were going to get a third down conversion. I know what it was like when we were going to call a play in the red zone and it was the right play and it was going to lead to a touchdown. And then I also know what it's like when you lose your confidence, not in just yourself, but just in the whole environment around you.
Yeah.
And right now I see a very unconfident Daniel Jones. I see the skittish Daniel Jones. But I also... you know, he throws a pass to Kadarius Toney. It should have been a first down. And the kid gets the ball ripped out of his hands. I mean, that's part of the process of trying to build confidence is making plays and everybody around you making plays. And whether it be drop balls or just misreads or total miscommunication or a nervousness about him that leads to, you know, red zone penalties and stuff like that. You know, Hernandez had a horrific game last night. I would say Nate Solder had not a great game last night. There's no running. This is not like a physical football team. And I think that's probably what drives Giant fans more crazy than anything.
I mean, frickin' Peyton Manning was saying it last night, too. Like, be a little more physical. Run the football. Like, I understand the game has changed, but there's teams that run the football all the time.
Look at the Colts. So the Colts basically said, look, we got this stud running back who's got two legs coming out of his shoulder pads. Because his arms are so big, and Jonathan Taylor, and we're just going to feed him the rock. And they fed him the rock and went against everything that Frank Reich normally does in a game. The last couple games, it's not been pass first. It's been run first.
Eagles are a run first team.
100%. And they know because they have a limited quarterback, and he's part of that running game. So this defense is going to be up for a whole different type of challenge this weekend.
Dan's in Connecticut. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Nothing, man. I'm diehard Giants fan. I called you guys a couple times the last couple months. I'm just kind of fed up with everything with Garrett, Jones. You guys hit the nail on the head. I don't think both of them will be back next year. So I wanted to kind of get your take on what would you guys do moving forward? I know Judge will probably come back for another year. I know it's kind of hard to judge right now, but what do you think they should do if Garrett and Jones and most likely Gettleman, you know, don't return?
Well, all right, so first things first, if Jason Garrett is fired before the season ends, Freddie Kitchens is going to be elevated to offensive coordinator. You still have seven more games left to see what that looks like. Now, for me, I've seen enough of Daniel Jones to realize that he isn't the guy. I don't believe the Giants look at it that way. So if somehow Freddie Kitchens and Daniel Jones goes on some sort of offensive excursion together, and then those guys could potentially come back. You know, if they don't, then the Giants are going to have to move on from their quarterback. They're going to have to move on from their general manager. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens stays as the offensive coordinator. They're bringing somebody else, and then they have an option. It's either look in the market for a quarterback that could be available on another team. You know, we've talked about some of these big names that could be available. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, these are names that could be out there. I don't know if they end up on the Giants, but you're going to have to investigate those things, or you take a look at what's in the draft. You got two picks in the top 10 right now if the season ended today at 5-7. So that's what they would have to do. I don't think Joe Judge gets fired. I don't believe Dave Gettleman is going to be here next year. But, you know, there are seven games left. I've made up my mind. I'm not the Giants. I'm not John Mara. I'm not the one who's making the calls over there. I think that they're going to take the next seven games to really decide what they're going to do with the quarterback.
You know, interesting that you bring up Russell Wilson, because I do believe he's going to be on the dock. I really do. And the Giants would have the, I think, the wherewithal to try to make that trade if they wanted to try to fix the quarterback position going in that direction. But I'd be careful for what you ask for, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, he's not coming to New York. If anywhere, I believe he would go to Denver, because I think Denver has locked up their three wide receivers for at least the next 3 years as they sign Courtland Sutton to a four-year contract extension. So they have, you know, they have Patrick Sutton and Jerry Jeudy as their three wide receivers. You know, that to me, and a good offensive line, and they do play really good defense. I mean, they traded Von Miller and they play great defense. So I'm like, if I were a quarterback and I were somebody like Aaron Rodgers and there were a team out there that would be looking for somebody, I would think that Denver would be the place.
Going to a tough division with tough quarterbacks, though.
New Orleans could be the place.
Pittsburgh.
Or Pittsburgh could be the place. But I think maybe Russell Wilson, Midwest kind of guy. You know,
he's been linked to the Giants before.
Right. I could see that that's going to be all the discussions this offseason. But like you said, there's seven games remaining. And, you know, Daniel Jones has got to wake up one morning and just say, look, man, and get pissed. You get sick of this.
I don't know if he's got that in him, though.
I just don't know if he has the confidence right now. I think the confidence looks like it was shot last night. Like, there were times in the 80s when we would run on the field, and I was like, man, we're going to kick everybody's ass. I knew it. I knew it. You just had so much confidence in the players that you were playing with, the coaching staff, the game plan, the way the plays were called. We were unstoppable. And then all of a sudden, guys started leaving, coach starts leaving, and then you're in the midst of like this whole rebuilding thing, and there is no confidence because you're not playing with the same guys, and you're playing with new guys, and some of those new guys aren't first-round talent like Kadarius Toney is. You know, I went from Eddie Brown, who was a great, unbelievable, game-changing wide receiver, to guys that never even played before. So you build a rapport up with somebody, and all of a sudden it's gone, and you play without any confidence. And I don't know. To me, it seems like there should be more confidence by Daniel Jones because of the players that are on the field with him when they're healthy.
On that note, Joe in Homedale, New Jersey. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, man.
So Boomer, it's been nice enough to meet you a bunch of times at charity events, and I just want to thank you for, you know, showing up to all those BGC events over the years. It meant a lot to a lot of the guys, but I had a question just about you in general. When you came into the league, how long did it take you to feel comfortable? Like, what do you think is the timeline for like the average player or, you know, in your position as a quarterback before you really feel comfortable and confident to go out there and perform on a week by week?
You know, everybody's different. Everybody's different, Joe. And like, they knew the moment that Russell Wilson walked into Seattle that he was the guy. And that team was built for that young quarterback. They had a great defense. They went from, you know, coming out of nowhere with, you know, guys like Richard Sherman and that whole secondary Legion of Boom to Bobby Wagner and a great pass rush and everything. And they could win games by running the ball with Marshawn Lynch. And that's what they did. And they gave Russell Wilson easier game plans when he was younger, and then as he grew and then they ended up paying him, they had to let other guys go. Then yeah. It became more about him, and he grew as he grew into the position. But everybody's different. For me, it was my first start of my second year where it all clicked in. We scored 42 points. And I saw everything. I understood the vernacular. I understood, you know, the whole thing. And then the more I got comfortable, then the coach started giving more no-huddle stuff to us and more pace of play type of stuff, which I love. And I saw that from both teams last night. And maybe that's where Daniel Jones needs to go. Maybe they need to go no huddle all the time, all the game, and keep the pressure on them and don't let them think too much.
You know, we keep using the Josh Allen example of how year three it clicked for him. But in recent memory, in recent NFL quarterback lore, that's the outlier. Generally, we know when a guy is good immediately. And I can give you example after example. Justin Herbert, his first game against the Chiefs was great. Patrick Mahomes, even though he sat a year, I'm just talking when they started playing, Patrick Mahomes was great right away. Even I'll go back to Aaron Rodgers.
Or Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow was really, really good right away.
So, I mean, Daniel Jones has had moments, though.
But he's never been those guys where you're actually excited about him. I mean, Kyler Murray, good right away. I mean, now, I'm not saying they won every game, but you knew. Like, Josh Allen, everybody uses this Josh Allen example of how, you know, he wasn't so good, then you didn't know, and he was kind of running around and throwing the ball all over the place, and all of a sudden, boom, he's an MVP candidate in year three. That's not generally how it works.
The amazing thing, they gave him a $258 million extension. In the last three out of four games, he hasn't been great.
No, he hasn't.
So it can happen to anybody. It can happen anywhere in the middle of a season, which, you know, every team is going to go through. As a matter of fact, you know, you have the best team in the NFC has two losses, and the best team in the AFC has three losses.
Mm-hmm.
So not everything's going to be perfect. But the really sad situation for the Giants is that they've let a lot of these different opportunities slip right through their fingertips, you know, in the last 4 weeks. Prior to that, the 5 weeks prior to the last 4 weeks until last night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
It's good to see people bidding on the packages, the WFAN packages that you can bid on.
Big package,
yes, at hungerthon.org/WFAN. And I've got great news, man. I mean, this is awesome to see. We have an update on the Boomer and Geo sit-in. You can come in to watch our show and hang out with us one day.
It's a small package. It's not a big package. It's a small package.
No, this is actually a big package, and now it's up to $5,250.
Wow, nice. Wow. I like it.
Yeah, that is great. And the co-host, the Al and Jerry post-game podcast with Al and Jerry, of course. It says co-host with Al and Jerry. Is $825.
That's so embarrassing.
We got to get that.
Now you got this big package that you're walking around with.
Big package.
Mm.
And by the way, the picture that they used for the Boomer and Geo sit-in is the one where Boomer's got the big package, for sure.
Him unleashing his package.
All right. It's that horrible picture of us where they cut out our neck.
The softball one?
No, not the softball one. Yeah, no, but they see, the problem is, though, they've got the donate over his pants right here on CBS Sports
That's
Network.
That's good. You got to put.
You got to take that
it
off.
Higher.
Right. It looks like he stuffed.
Cover the fake hand.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Looks like he stuffed one of those crawlers down there.
Bulging package.
Well, anyway.
I mean, you guys.
Maybe that's why it went up to $5,000.
The Narpian takes on things are just.
No, it's Narpian.
Insufferable.
Be proud.
I'm not saying that I'm. Look at me, my package expanded.
Clearly.
Oh, God.
So anyway.
Hey, good for you.
Hey, seriously. So you have another hour and
full
a half
package
to bid on our packages, the Boomer and Geo studio visit, and the Al and Jerry co-host post.
Anybody really going to want yours after seeing Boomer's?
Package.
Hello.
He's got a good package.
All right, already. You got an update with your package?
Yeah.
So that package, which has, that's a lot in there.
Oh, that's a lot.
There's, see?
That's a lot. It's a lot in that package. Yeah. Very, very large package on Boomer. Okay. I mean, jeez. I mean, I've heard stories about athletes, but I mean. Hey, I mean, come
big
on.
Package.
Yeah.
We're powered by Superbook, featuring better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by HomeServe, New York's leading heating and cooling experts. All right, let's get to the giant mess from last night. This is the play that we have been curious about all morning long. It's a very large man, I'm sure, with a big defensive package. And for some reason, Daniel Jones didn't see him or his package.
Golladay split right. Jones in a shotgun set, second and eight. Play fake. Jones rolls to his right and trying to throw it back to Barkley. And he throws it left and he throws it right to the defender for the interception.
Pop. I'm sorry. I can't help but laugh when I see this play.
It's one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen.
It's not funny. It's terrible. So that was Bob Papa with the call on the fan. Yes, that interception, not good. First career interception for Steve McClendon, because usually quarterbacks don't throw it to him.
defensive tackle. Yeah.
I know, terrible. 30-10, the Giants wind up losing to the Bucs. Here's Joe Judge in terms of the lack of offensive production, and boy, they had it again last night.
We got to do a better job scoring points. I know it sounds pretty obvious and to the point with it, but I'm going to keep it just very blunt on that right there. We got to do a better job putting our players in position to make plays. There are too many good players. You know, we got to put them in a better position to capitalize on it. That's it.
Yeah, these are pretty much the big clips from Judge. In terms of what his guys are doing and who's at fault, here's Judge again.
I expect us to produce at a higher level. Let's keep it at that. My expectations are pretty high, and I'm not compromising for anybody.
Yeah, took responsibility for it. I don't know if he's passing the buck or not, but he is clearly ticked off.
It's tough to say. I mean, it sounds like it, right? I mean, at any point did he say it's on me to put our guys into a better position to score points?
He says a lot of us.
Yeah, so I mean, it's something that he's done now for this entire year. I mean, very rare. There was that one time he was complaining about everything and then came back out and said, like, the fish stinks from the head or whatever, and he ended up saying that in, like, a Wednesday press conference, and someone probably told him, you better take responsibility because it sounds terrible that you're passing the buck. And it sounds like he's doing it again here, but, I mean, I bet you Giants fans love to hear it because I think most Giants fans hate Jason Garrett, and the fact that the head coach is calling him out and he might fire him this week is probably music to their ears.
Well, Jason Garrett didn't throw that interception we just played. Daniel Jones did. Here he was on what exactly happened.
Yeah, just a bad decision, trying to get the ball out of my hands, and got to be smarter in that situation.
Now, I did not get to hear him in its entirety. I'd be wondering or curious if someone said, who were you throwing to? Because Boomer made the comment about, you know, Saquon Barkley, and you can see him on the video there, too, that Barkley's open down the left sideline. And I do believe Bob Papa said the same thing, that perhaps that was the route. But, boy, he came up really short on it, if indeed that was the case.
Or he could have been, because he was under pressure, he could have been trying to throw the ball into the ground because there were players over there. And it could have been, you know, just a pure throwaway situation. But, and then instead, the ball was too far up in the air, and McClendon caught it. Could have been that.
The problem is the Giants are averaging under 20 points per game, guys.
What's their high for the year? 29 or 28?
Yeah, I think
it was
Washington, and you know they are. And last night they got the ball on the 10-yard line, or 5-yard line, whatever it was, that ended up scoring the touchdown off of that turnover, or they wouldn't have had anything last night, for that matter. So. You have all these first-round picks on this team, and they're not generating points. And that is really frustrating for the head coach. I'm sure it's frustrating for the offensive coordinator as well. But, you know, we could talk about that. The defense got steamrolled. There's no pass rush, and they're not scoring points.
And one of the worst teams in the game.
And this is a league that is built on offense. And you supposedly have, you know, this running back, these three wide receivers, this tight end.
And this has been going on for years. This was going on with Eli in his last couple of years, too. It's all we talked about was the weapons. Weapons this, weapons that, when Odell was here.
And then it's just a lot of nothing.
These guys are completely overrated. I mean,
Tom Brady, by the way.
Saquon and Daniel Jones.
Tom Brady, 307, a couple of touchdowns and a pick. One of those touchdowns goes to Mike Evans, now the all-time touchdown leader in Bucs history. Giants take on the Eagles on Sunday.
Who did he pass? Do you know?
Mike Allstott,
oh, yeah.
Okay, very good.
I think 72 was the number.
Interesting.
Eddie, skip ahead if you can to the Carmelo Anthony clips, if you don't mind, because I don't have a lot of time. Lakers and Knicks tonight at the Garden, so that means Carmelo is back. No LeBron. He was suspended for what happened in Detroit the other night, but a couple from Melo in terms of returning this evening.
You know, I always look forward to playing in the Garden, playing in front of the fans, whether with the Knicks or against the Knicks.
Well, he'll be against them tonight, and he talks about New York City.
they embrace me. I've embraced them. And I don't think that that bond between myself and New York City will ever go anywhere.
You guys are the Knicks fans.
I've got no emotional connection to him at all. None.
I know Boomer loves him.
I mean, I know, yeah, right, of course. But, I mean, I really...
Do you think, legit, do you think he's cheered tonight?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I actually do. I think Knicks fans, for the most part, are looking to cheer for anything. So I think that he actually will get a positive ovation.
Interesting. All right, well, then maybe he is right. So, again, LeBron out, but Melo there, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and the Lakers tonight. Knicks have not been great at home, so we'll see if they can right that ship this evening.
Did you guys see the Kyle Kuzma sweater last night?
I did. What was that?
Oh, my God. It was the most ridiculous outfit I have ever seen. That's including all of Russell Westbrook's crazy stuff. I mean, the thing was like size 15X.
Yes.
And the sleeves went probably at least, what, 2-3 feet past his hands?
Oh, easy.
And then he's just walking in, and it's pink, by the way, is the thing. And he's just walking and swaying his arms back and forth. You don't even see his hands coming through his sweater.
It really looked like someone, a sweatshirt or a sweater for a 400-pound human being.
Yes. You know how much, like, he's a tall guy. He's a big guy. You put that thing on, a normal person is absolutely swimming in it. It was in pure insanity.
Speaking of a large guy, did you see Iman Shumpert won Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the picture with the dancer he was with?
I didn't see that, no.
I think she's less than half his size.
Females back, shump around.
Shump around.
Shump around.
So, hey, good for him. So he's a champion.
He has a connection with New York fans.
What's that?
He has a connection with New York City.
More so than Carmelo?
Kind of like Frank Ntilikina. He's got a connection.
Huh.
Yeah. Gone. That's the connection. Nets beat the Cavaliers.
Porzingis had a connection. Remember, he was being tutored by Carmelo.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. How'd that go? He's in Dallas. Nets did beat the Cavaliers in Cleveland, 117-112. Kevin Durant at 27. James Harden, 14 points, 14 assists as Brooklyn outscores Cleveland, 65-49 in the second. And just quickly, the Suns beat the Spurs, 13 straight wins for Phoenix. I'll tell you, between Phoenix out there, what they're doing, and who's the other team I'm thinking of? Blah, 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 blah. I'm blanking out. And
Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors. You got two great teams out there. 115-111 was the win over the Spurs last night. Sixers did win in Sacramento, 102-94. And we mentioned the Knicks and Lakers coming up later tonight at the Garden. And the Mets lose. Well, they don't lose, but Aaron Loop goes to the Angels. And I also saw on social media that the Angel fans now are hashtagging Stroman to Anaheim. So they already got Syndergaard. They got Loop. Now they want Marcus Stroman to come sign out there as well. And there you go.
I mean, Stroman's the only guy out of the... Well, and then Loop had a really good season, I was going to say.
He did.
He had a really
and Stroman
season.
Was consistent.
He was. I mean,
He was their
best starting pitcher last
every
year.
Every five days.
32 starts, right?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, DeGrom was authoring a dynamic, historic season, but then he didn't pitch for half the year.
Right.
So, how you doing there, Jerry? You getting any better, any worse, deteriorating, improving?
I feel a little better.
You do?
I would say not great, but a little better for sure.
This is the worst I think I've ever heard you, though.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. I think it sounds worse than I feel right now, although this morning I felt horrendous.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to go get a COVID test now?
Well, I will.
Yeah.
Do I feel like I have to? You probably, yeah.
I mean, you had COVID dancing around your house. You didn't get it.
That is very true. Back in August.
I'm going to say no COVID for Jerry.
I am, too, because I still do wear the mask almost everywhere I go.
No COVID. Anybody want to take COVID in the Jerry Recco sick pool?
I'm taking COVID.
You're taking COVID?
Oh,
wow.
Because Jerry says he wears the mask, but we've been told the mask protect others. It's not protecting Jerry.
That's true.
So
you get those droplets on the outside of that mask. You're breathing through that mask. You're just breathing the droplets that are sticking to that mask.
So COVID for Jerry. Eddie, COVID, no COVID for Jerry.
I'm going to go no COVID.
No COVID. All right. So that's two no COVID, one COVID. Boomer, where are you on this? Where do you stand?
You got to get tested for Rutgers, right? I mean, you have to do that. So.
For sure. No, I'm going to get. I'll test today. Actually,
yeah,
I won't fool. I've tested like because I didn't feel great last, and I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel quite right last week, and I tested almost every day. I kept testing negative.
Yeah, I'm going to say he got the COVID.
Wow. Ugh. Okay.
So right, where are we? 2-2. Here?
2-2.
What do you
and...
think, there, G?
I say no COVID.
No, he's almost showing the same kind of symptoms that you did.
I have no congestion, though.
No, but you were doing all those tests that were negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spike said, before you come back, you got to take one more test.
Yeah, came up positive.
That's right. So I think that's kind of like what Jerry is right now. One more test.
And you never had fever, Gio, or had a slight fever?
No, never.
No fever. And Spike didn't have a fever.
He didn't have a fever either.
And Spike, when he walked in, he goes, I know that sound.
Yeah.
That's the COVID sound. I'm still going to go no.
No. But Jerry, you're thinking no.
I think no.
You're thinking no. So it's 3-2 here.
Actually, I have felt like this in the past.
It's like 3-3, actually, because Spike thinks COVID.
4-3, because I count.
No. You're saying no COVID. Oh. I'm saying no COVID. Eddie's saying no COVID. That's 3.
Got
Al,
it.
Boomer, and Spike say COVID.
Mm.
So it's a dead heat.
All right.
COVID, no COVID.
Why don't you text Bobby, or is he off today?
Bobby, by the way.
Is he on off?
He is here today.
Oh, he is. So, ask him what he thinks.
He decided not to join us for the Christmas party, by the way. So that's been decided.
Oh, he has decided himself?
Yeah, that he's not joining us.
Oh, why is that?
The requirement of coming in the next day, and he had already taken the day off, evidently.
When did he asked for the day off? Last Monday.
Last Monday?
Yeah, that was what David Mirnick told me.
Oh, he did some investigative reporting.
I just said, hey, when did Bobby ask for the day off? And it was last Monday.
Last Monday. Were we talking about this extravaganza last Monday?
I don't remember. I think we were, because I had come from where I thought we were going to go to lunch or dinner, but we're not.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, I was there that weekend for the marathon weekend.
That's right.
At the peak.
That's right. We're not going there any longer.
No, we're not going to go there. Just because it's because of where we're going now that we're going to Webster Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to
Webster Hall?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Isn't that a dance club?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get jiggy with it.
Well, no, that's where the concert is. That's where Jordan Davis is playing.
Jordan Davis is at Webster Hall.
He's playing at Webster Hall, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
That's right.
How about that?
So 1, 2, 3, 4, CeeLo 5.
Yeah.
Jerry 6. 6 tickets? Gallo's out?
Yeah.
Bob, all right, so 6.
6.
And that's it. Cut
off, baby.
Everybody out. Everybody else out.
Where are we getting these tickets from?
Jordan Davis himself.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, damn right.
Nice.
Yeah, got a cell phone. I'm letting them sit another day. I don't want to seem too anxious.
Okay.
I'll text them this morning.
Oh, yeah. You didn't? Wait, this is confirmed or not confirmed?
It's confirmed. He said, whatever you need.
Once you heard that your schedule was clear, Jerry, that, you know, like you guys are in.
Okay. Well, I get things done, Boom.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
And, Bobby is voting no COVID for Jerry.
Oh, he is. All right, so we broke the tie. All right, so the no COVID people right now are winning that one.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
It is Hungerthon 2021 to benefit Why Hunger. We have Noreen Springstead back in studio with us, the executive director of Why Hunger. And this is a great, unique opportunity for you to bid on stuff that is very rarely available. And one of those things, or two of those things, are very show-specific for us that ends in just over an hour, so we want to pump those. And that's Sit In With Us, the Boomer and Geo show. in the studio and hang out with us for a studio visit. That bid is up to $5,250 right now. So that's very, very cool. We thank you for that. And then co-host the Al and Jerry post-game podcast, which is about as unique an experience as you can get to co-host the podcast. That's at 825 right now, so we need to jack that
up. Package.
And if you just want to donate anything and you feel like you want to support the cause, you go to hungerthon.org or call 800-5-HUNGRY. That's 800-548-6479. And for every dollar donated, Casamigos Tequila.
Tequila.
To Casamigos Tequila.
Tequila.
That is. We'll match that up to 50%. So Boomer just donated his $1,000. That means a Casamigos Tequila is going to donate $500 in addition to that. So we are so thankful for everybody there at Casamigos Tequila. All right, Noreen, so where do we stand here? How's it going so far?
Thank you, Boomer. You just sent us over the top there. So we've raised $11,175. The callers are calling in. We have phone room volunteers ready to go, and those donations are going into hungerthon.org. You'll see a drop-down box. It says, how'd you hear about us? WFAN.
Right, I like
so
it.
So that we get that Casamigos match, and their generosity has been happening for, I think, 5 years. So really grateful for that and to have this platform. And I see that your auction item is doing amazing.
That's right, $5,250.
It's pretty cool. The Casamigos donations, along with our donations, will go from 6 o'clock this morning through Moose and Maggie, 2 o'clock up to Craig and Evan. So we have plenty of time to make plenty of donations, and Casamigos will match 50% of those donations dollar for dollar. Not the auction donations, the actual direct donations, because we want to get as much money as we possibly can to you guys, because we know that you spend it wisely, you do the right thing with it, and I know how much passion you have for this, Noreen, which is the thing that I get behind. I get behind the people that are behind or pushing the actual reason for doing it, and you guys always show so much passion every year.
Appreciate that. I didn't get into this just to feed people. I really wanted to address the underlying issues of why people are hungry in the first place. So that's what we do at Why Hunger. We help meet people's immediate food needs through our hotline and our fine food service. And then we invest in community solutions all across the country that transform and last and move people out of poverty and off the hunger line. That's why this is so important, because every single person in America deserves nutritious food as a human right. We all need it every day to eat and to grow and to thrive. So that's what motivates me and keeps me doing this.
So the donation money, when people ask, you know, when I'm donating, what am I donating to? Where's the money going? Where does most of the donation money end up to try to solve this problem?
So there are several charity watchdogs out there. Why Hunger is a 4-star charity, which is the highest rating you can get. 90 cents on every dollar donated goes to programmatic work. So that's to help connect people to nutritious food right here in the U.S. Last year, we helped more than 1 million people get the food they needed when they were facing their hunger crisis. And then it also goes to invest in these solutions, grassroots community leaders that know their communities best, to implement these root cause solutions that will help move people off the hunger line.
And once again, I do want to thank everybody at Casamigos, George Clooney, Randy Gerber, Michael Melman, and Lee Einsiedler for making that 50% Casamigos tequila match from this morning when our show started all the way through Moose and Maggie at 2 p.m. We're also doing the personalized voice messages for $100, and there's a devoted website for that that you can sign up for, hungerthon.org/voice. That's hungerthon.org/voice. You can get a voicemail message from John Sterling, Susan Waldman, Boomer and I, Jerry, Al, Moose, Maggie Gray, Craig Carton, Evan Roberts, Keith McPherson, or Sal Licata. That's $100 to get a recording. And as I mentioned, I'll do whatever voice that you want. Just put it in the message there, and I will do that for you. Hungerthon.org/voice. And please call 800-5-HUNGRY. There are volunteers right now waiting for your phone call. 800-548-6479. All right, Noreen. Very good. I'm glad to hear this is going well.
It's going well. We're moving in the right direction. Thank you so much, guys.
Do you miss Chernoff around here?
You know, we really should give Mark Chernoff a shout out. I've been doing this. This is my 30th Hungerthon. First time ever without Mark Chernoff.
Yeah.
He was the heart and the soul, and he really teed this up.
Yeah, and by the way, you see that sign we have up in the control room behind Eddie and Al, right?
The Mark Chernoff WFA
News. We're always reminded of who Mark Chernoff is and what he was all about around here, of course.
Yep.
Mark is the best. Thank you, guys.
All right, Noreen, thank you. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Make sure that you get involved here. You go to hungerthon.org/WFAN. You get to see all these great packages. Hey, that watch the Nets and Celtics in a suite hosted by Evan Roberts is up over $2,500.
I'm a loser.
$2,694. And there's some stuff on here that are way below value. For example, two field level seats to the Mets and Yankees on July 27th. That's only at $500. Four field level MVP seats to Yankees Red Sox on July 15th. That's only at $950 for the four field level tickets. And two tickets to the 2022 Giants home opener and an Eli Manning signed football is only at $425. So check out hungerthon.org/WFAN. You get some really unique, priceless opportunities here on this special day where we're raising money for a great cause.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.